I want to look at some things today from God's Word, make some applications to our lives. A couple of things that the Lord's been working on in my heart, working kind of overtime, is our responsibility as Christians. Thank you. Now I can see. The doors were open. And I'm thinking of this in the area of our veterans. We do a good job as far as praying for our veterans when they're in the war theater, praying that God would give them safety, give the commanders wisdom as they decide upon the hill to attack, upon the correct movement of soldiers. We pray for our president to know how many troops to send. We pray for our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to have wisdom. But one area that I see that we're lacking is once our men and women of the armed forces come back, they're all of a sudden forgotten about. We have the big parade. We welcome them back as heroes. And then all of a sudden, there's kind of this big lapse of us interceding for them before God. According to statistics, it's a huge thing right now. The VA, the Veterans Administration, is noting is veterans are committing suicide at an alarming rate. One veteran per day is committing suicide. Folks, that's one too many. What is the cause of this? What is the reason why this is happening? Well, there's many reasons why we might be able to put our finger upon. But one thing I do know is that they have faced some traumatic situations when they're over in those war theaters. Whether it's Afghanistan, I was talking to a person the other day. 8 times they have been over to Afghanistan, Iraq, or whatever, deployed 8 times in the last few years. Average deployment is ranging between 9 and 13 months. Some deployments are lasting up to 18 months. Can you imagine 18 months being at a heightened level of awareness, day in and day out? There's 2.3 million American veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan war right now. At least 20%, these are statistics from a VA website. At least 20% of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans have PTSD and or depression. Some even make rate that much, much higher. 50% of those with what we call PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, did not seek treatment. 19% of veterans may have a traumatic brain injury. 7% of veterans have both post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury. I thought this was interesting, the wording of this. Oddly, statistics for veteran tobacco use are never reported alongside PTSD statistics, even though increases in rates of smoking are strongly correlated with the stress of deployment and combat, and smoking statistics show that tobacco use is tremendously damaging and costly for soldiers. Here was a staggering statistic by the New York Times. More active duty personnel die by their own hand than from combat. We need to intercede for them. We have wonderful VA. Well, we can ask Woody how wonderful the VA is and maybe get an actual instance of it. I can tell you personal stories, lost paperwork and things like that. But they're doing their dead level best in order to intercede for our veterans. But I believe that the Bible has the answer for all questions of life. That's where we need to go back. I have talked to veteran after veteran after veterans. I've talked to police officers. I've talked to emergency workers that are dealing with this, what they call PTSD. And the thing that I find in the they say they don't have a cure for this disease at this time amongst the medical professionals. I think in Psalm 55, if you bear with me for a few moments, I will show you that we have a Bible answer for it. Psalm 55, first of all, let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, I pray that you would work through me this morning as we look into your word. Lord, I pray for our veterans. Lord, there's men and women who are right now in harm's way. They are having bullets coming down range. There's mortar attacks upon their place that they are right now. Lord, I pray that you would protect them. Lord, but I also think of our veterans that are here stateside whether from whatever war, Vietnam, World War II, Korea, Afghanistan, the first Persian Gulf War, or the second Persian Gulf War, Lord, I pray that we might be able to reach these men and women with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 55, written by David. I've not gotten an exact time frame. I'm still researching to see exactly when it was written by David. But we do know there, if you see there, it says it's a psalm of David. Notice first of all with me the internal nature of the problem there in Psalm 55, verse 4 and 5. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. The intimacy of the pain. My heart is sore pained within me. This PTSD thing is not that you can see a big gaping wound like when I got bit by my dog. You had this long, about 3-inch long bite all the way down. You could see the blood vessel. That's not what we're seeing. This is an internal problem. It's a very intimate problem. There was a documentary made, a very well-made documentary, about PTSD. And the people talk about over and over and over again, I can't go seek help for this because people are going to label me as crazy. You know what I can tell from personally? I can tell you from personal experience. I understand not wanting to go seek for help because people will think you're crazy. But you know what I found? It's a normal reaction to a messed up situation. You see these things over and over. I think of after watching that documentary, I saw this HM2, a medic in the Navy. And she describes seeing the bodies after the bombings, and she was one of the first people in after the bombings. Think about that if you're going through that every day for 18 months. If you're at a car wreck and you see a terrible car wreck and you see the injured bodies, that lives with you for a few days. Can you imagine seeing it every day for 18 months? That would begin messing with your mind, with your heart. Not only the intimacy of the pain, but I also want you to notice the power of the intrusion. Notice there in verse number 4. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. Folks, this is real over there in Afghanistan. This is real over in Iraq. The things that our men and women see are very, very real. They cause very real problems in their lives. Notice verse number 5. Horror hath overwhelmed me. They're not only are the wagons encircled around them, but then they have the wagons encircled around the wagons. They're in bondage. Fearful and trembling. You say, well, is that a realistic, is that real live fearfulness and trembling? Yes, I can tell you it's actual fearfulness and trembling. That moment when you have a life and death situation, I'm telling you, if you've never gone through it, don't pass judgment until you have gone through it. All of a sudden, your blood pressure spikes between, they say, according to statistics, 250 to 280. Your pulse races around 250 beats per minute. It's either stroke or live, fight or flight. Your hands shake. Your arms go numb. 6 to 8 hours later after the incident, your hands are still numb. Your mind's still racing, going through that event over and over like a movie. I only went through it once. 31 seconds, I was told, was the entire event. 31 seconds. And for about 2.5 weeks, there was a struggle. Our men and women of the armed forces are going through it from 9 to 18 months. Every day seeing situations like this. Fearfulness and trembling. The powers of the intrusion. Not only the internal nature of the problem, we saw the intimacy of the pain, the power of the intrusion, but we see the intensity of the petition. Notice there in verse number 1, Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Verse number 2. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Notice the implicit request. He says, give ear. Or as we say, to our children, listen to me. Are you paying attention? The 7-year-old in our family, you have to have him look you right in the eye. And he still doesn't even hear then. But David is making an implicit request. Give ear unto me, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. David's looking for a response. Give ear to my prayer. Attend unto me. 3 times in 2 verses, he implicitly requests the help of the Lord. Notice his intended address is God. That's how he addressed this prayer, unto God. And don't get me wrong, let me make this statement. I am not saying that there is not a place for counseling. There's not a place for medication. There's not a place for all the treatments that they have for this. But are we putting all of our eggs into one basket and forgetting about our Maker, the Lord Jesus Christ? Psalm 55 notices verse number 16. See the internal nature of the problem, the intensity of the petition. Then now I want you to see the instrument of prayer. As for me, Psalm 55:16, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me. What's that situation that you've gone through? What's that traumatic situation, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a child, a tense situation that you've gone through? Notice what David says. And as for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me. I see his decided resolution. As for me, I've decided already. I think every time I see that wording, as for me, I think of that in Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He already made up his mind. No matter what that situation might bring, no matter, and you need to make that decision well before you're put into that situation. Because I'll tell you from personal experience, even though, and I'll use our common vernacular, even though I have a faith mechanism in my life, I'll tell you, you go through a traumatic situation, you start doubting some things. You're saying, what? Brother Schrock, are you saying that for a few weeks you were unspiritual? You might be able to put that label upon it. Or maybe it's just you went through a messed up situation and you are having a natural response to it. Weeks, 14 days, live for 14 days, and you don't know what's going to happen. Your job's possibly in jeopardy. You think of the criminal prosecution that may happen. You think of the civil liabilities. You think about the situation that you were put through for those 31 seconds. You have to decide way back what you are going to do. As for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me. We notice his decided resolution, but I also want to notice his dedicated resolve. Evening and morning and at noon, verse number 17, will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Evening, morning, and at noon. So one prayer didn't work for David. And we know from the Scripture that David was a man after God's own heart. One prayer didn't work for him. Does one prayer answer all your prayer requests? How many prayers, I think of Jackson Hankey just got saved. Was it last week or the week before? How many prayers did Mike and Rachel offer up to God, imploring God that he would be saved at a young age? What if they prayed one time every day? One time for every day, 365 days in a year, 365, what is he, 6 years old? So 6 times 365 for round figures, 1,800 times that they prayed. And the Lord answered their prayer. last week or the week before in VBS there in Georgia, he got saved. You're going through a situation, evening and morning and at noon. It might be more than one day. You're playing three times a day, times 365. There's, for rough figures, over 900 prayers per day about this predicament that you're in. Notice also his expectant decree, verse number 17. And he shall hear my voice. And he shall hear my voice. When I'm in the midst, I think of Psalm 22, when the strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round, when my joints are feel like fluid and my bones are just melting apart, he shall hear my voice. What's that situation that you're in? Maybe you've never been in a life and death situation. Maybe you've never been in a situation where you felt that your life was in danger or a fellow person's life was in danger. Maybe you've never seen the atrocities of war. But you have situations in your life that you want God to answer. Do you have that resolve? Evening and morning will I pray. Do you have that resolution? Have you decided in the past, no matter what may come up, here is the path that I'm going to follow? Do you really trust God to answer your prayers? It's easy to sit here in your suit and tie and your Sunday best and say, yeah, God will answer my prayers. But it's another thing when you're out there, when boots are on the ground and you're in the middle of the desert and you feel all alone, to say, the Lord will hear my prayer. It's another thing when you're right in the middle of that situation to say, the Lord will hear my prayer. Saw the internal nature of the problem, the intensity of the petition, the instrument of prayer. I also want you to see this morning the instruction of placement. Where are these men and women, these veterans? Where are they supposed to go? Well, we've got the Veterans Administration. Well, if you've been watching the news, watching Fox News, CNN, whichever news channel you prefer, maybe CBS, ABC, NBC, I can tell you, even the federal government thinks the VA is a little messed up right now. They're losing records. Veterans are dying because of poor care. The instruction of placement. Secretary Shinseki resigned amidst controversy. Where are these veterans supposed to turn? Where are they supposed to go? What are they supposed to do? They've got at best, and I have talked to several, here is the best thing that they can say. The medical professionals, we think this may help you. I don't know about you, but you get some terrible medical news or medical news. And the best thing that your doctor, the specialist, can say is, we hope this can help you. I don't know about you, but that doesn't give me warm, fuzzy feelings on the inside when they say, 50-50 chance. I don't know if this is going to help or not. We've seen it help some. We've seen it made some worse. I don't know. I'm not sure that I would be all too in a fire hurry to use those methods. But let me tell you from the Bible. Psalm 52, verse number 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And you say, well, Brother Schrock, I've never gone through a situation like this. What you're describing is absolutely foreign to me. I was raised in the United States. I love my country. I think it's a wonderful place. I understand our men and women of the armed forces are doing a wonderful job, but I have never, ever been in a situation to see the atrocities of war, to see injured bodies. The worst thing I ever saw was I saw a mangled car wreck at the corner of DeKalb and 74. But you still have a burden. Every single one of us here this morning are carrying a burden. Somebody in your life that you've been praying for years to come to know the Lord as personal Savior. Maybe a family issue. Maybe a son or a daughter that's straying from the Lord. Maybe you're thinking of a couple that you know that right now they're going through marital difficulties. Maybe you're thinking of a teenager that's seeming to rebel against their parents. You can take that burden and you can cast it upon the Lord. But not only that, I want to make a specific application. These veterans can cast their burden upon the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Have you ever been in the place that you need sustained? I got thinking in the Bible about these people that needed sustained. Object lesson. How many of you have shoulder problems? Anybody have shoulder problems? All right, we'll use... No, I won't pick on you. You remember the story? Was it Moses that had to raise his hands up? Oh, raise them up with me. Let's see. Everybody raise up your hands. How long can you keep your hands up? You'll start seeing in a couple minutes, and I won't have you do it for the entire time. People's hands, you can put your hands down. Might call on you to pray. Oh, go ahead and pray. No. Your hands will start dropping. And then you're trying. It's kind of funny. It's actually kind of funny when you're watching recruits, police recruits, marine recruits. I don't know what they call them in the Navy because that's not even a real branch of the service. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I can't go there. That's wrong place. Sorry, Brother Harvey. But at least they're not in the Army, right, Brother Harvey? Yes. Yes, we do. We do, and even in our... Well, we'll go there later. But muscles are required, intelligence never expected. That's right. But Army ain't ready for the Marines yet, but we'll discuss all those other. But we just know when you're in a need of help, you always call the Marines. Let's just go ahead and we've already got that entered as evidence into the Court of Justice. But the thing that I see is these people, and it's funny watching the recruits, and they're trying really hard. And they're not even trying. But it's natural. You can't keep your arms up. You need sustained. Moses needed sustained. He needed two people to come alongside him and sustain him for a very specific purpose. His arms are up, they're winning. His arms are down, they're losing. His arms are up, they're winning. His arms are down, they're losing. Have you ever needed sustained? You say, well, Brother Schrock, I've actually had a person tell me this. I have never, ever needed sustained in my life. Follow my logic here. Don't go jump off the cliff quite yet. I don't know CPR. My CPR card just expired, so I don't want you to jump off the cliff. If you've never needed sustain, have you ever really come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? I think back April the 16th, 1987. That was a specific date that I can tell you I needed sustained. I didn't have any hope. I needed the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, to impart His precious blood upon my account. He needed people to come alongside Him. But you know, I think of that, even that instance, Moses needing the help of those two helpers. They're even going to get tired, folks. I think of instances, the Lord's allowed, when I was in the Marine Corps, we were doing martial arts training. We were doing break falls. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to go counterintuitively, and you're supposed to, as you're falling, it's actually pretty interesting. Let's see, who should I pick on today? Brother, no. Is you're supposed to, you start off, and first you're on your hands and your knees. Or you're on your knees, you're up like this. You're supposed to just fall forward and you're supposed to slap the ground. It's a break fall. It keeps you from smashing your face into the ground and getting a bloody nose. Then they get you, and you actually, from standing position, you fall forward without breaking your fall with your feet. You fall forward and slap the ground. You fall backwards and slap the ground. You fall sideways and slap the ground. But where the rubber really meets the road is when the guy flips you, and then you slap the ground in order to break your fall. Well, long story short, we're doing all of those training for our gray belt, for our gray belt test in the Marine Corps martial arts program. Corporal Tatro goes and flips me. I end up upside down. I end up on the ground with a mud mark from here all the way to there. I blow my shoulder out instead of my neck. Grade 5 AC separation. I have to walk around for 9 weeks in a full upper body cast with my arm sealed to my side with a cast material with a wooden rod here and a wooden rod in the back. I'm telling you, you can walk around pretty good. It's not too hard to walk around. Pretty easy. You can walk around and then you have to try to sit down. And when you're in one of these things, you can never find a chair unless it's a very low chair. It's just somehow, I don't know what happens, but when you're in a cast like this, there is never a chair that's of a good height. It's always like a kid's chair. So you're trying to maneuver in order to be fall into the chair, and then you have to get up. And you're trying to pull yourself up, and you're trying not to, in order to displace, you just had surgery, 8 hours of surgery on your shoulder, and you're trying to pull yourself up. You have to be sustained. You have to be helped up out of the chair. You have to be helped put into the chair. How many of you are right-handed people? Try to eat with your left hand for lunch today. And you'll be like, forget it. I'm going to go back to... You can't go to your right hand. You have to learn to eat with your... Have you ever taken cornbread and tried to put butter onto the cornbread with your left hand? You end up with crumbled cornbread. So you have to go to the person next to you. Can you put this on for me? Try to put your pants on with a left hand. You're like, you put your shoe on, tie your shoe. You have to be sustained. Verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I'm not a Hebrew scholar by any stretch of the imagination. But I can tell you from this, he's not going to get tired. He's not going to be like those two men helping Moses, supporting his arms, that maybe at some time in the future they're going to get tired. The Lord's never going to get tired. He shall always be able to sustain thee. He shall always never suffer the righteous to be moved. I see the place of relief. Cast thy burden. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this is a big burden that our veterans have been asked to carry. A big burden. Symptoms of PTSD are often grouped into three main categories. Reliving the moment. And I'm not meaning thinking about that 10 years ago you got married and reliving your wedding ceremony. I'm talking about reliving the atrocities of the instance after instance after instance that you saw there while on the battlefield. People with PTSD repeatedly relive the ordeal through thoughts, memories, and memories of the trauma. This may include flashbacks, hallucinations, and nightmares. They also may feel great distress when certain things remind them of the trauma, such as the anniversary date, or driving by the same place, or hearing that there is another stolen motor vehicle and the person seems to, they don't want to stop for a traffic stop for the police department. They may also be avoiding. They may avoid people, places, thoughts, or situations that may remind him or her of the trauma. This can lead to feelings of detachment and isolation, and the snowball gets bigger and bigger and bigger in their lives, as well as loss of interest in activities that the person once enjoyed. The third area, the third category, increased arousal. These include excessive emotions, problems relating to others, including feeling or showing affection, difficulty falling or staying asleep, irritability, outbursts of anger, difficulty concentrating, and being jumpy or easily startled. The person may also suffer physical symptoms such as increased blood pressure and heart rate, rapid breathing, muscle tension, and nausea. This is a big burden to cast upon the Lord. This is very real in veterans' lives here in Shelby, North Carolina. You go out and you talk to these men and women, and they're the type, they don't tell you about their service. They don't want to talk about it because they have a big wound in their heart. The imperative promise, Psalm 55, verse 22. Notice with me the call to recruit. And I'm not meaning being proud of your branch of service, the Navy or the Army or the Marine Corps or the Air Force, and asking young men, strapping young men, 18-year-olds just coming out of high school to sign up because Uncle Sam wants them. Notice the call to recruit. And he shall never suffer the righteous. How do we know that Lot was saved? Because Lot vexed his righteous soul. It is a call for us to recruit these men and women who have served our country faithfully. Because God doesn't say in His Word that He shall never suffer the entire world to be moved. He says, the righteous. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What's the answer for this problem? Let me say again, just to be clear. I'm not saying that there's not a time and a place for the counseling, for the medication, for the eye movement training that they put them through, through the other things that the medical professionals have found to be helpful. What I'm saying is, as Christians today, our responsibility is to see that these men and women hear about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then they can cast their burden upon the Lord. And then we can say with them as brothers and sisters in Christ, He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What's the plan of attack? According to history, they had to put together when Saddam Hussein invaded and his Iraqi Republican forces invaded into Kuwait there back in 1990-91, they had to come together and really quickly put together. They did not have a plan there at Central Command under General H. Norman Schwarzkopf. They didn't have a plan that they could pull out of the file drawer and say, here's how we're going to go about in order to alleviate a problem in the Middle East. They didn't have one of those. They had to put together, they had to get the generals and the lieutenant generals and the major generals and the colonels and the captains all together, and they had to make up an action plan upon which they were going to follow in order to take care of this problem. I want to give you an action plan in order to take care of this problem. We go out, and I'll tell you, they're not going to let you in their house the first time. This is going to be, you're going to have to build a friendship. Maybe it's when you go down to the trailer hitch store and you start talking to a person. And you notice that they're wearing something. Be acutely aware. If they're wearing something such as this, this will tell you that they were probably, most people don't wear one of these unless they were in the Marines. Be aware of those things. Thank them for their service. Tell them if you're a veteran, tell them you were in the service as well. Start making a friendship with them. Make excuses to go down to the trailer hitch store. Maybe it's that hardware store that you frequent. Maybe you're going into, I think I figured out this week that women like going to Joann Fabrics. How many women here like going to Joann Fabrics and craft stores? Any women here? Some of them. Well, you know, I figured out that Harbor Freight in Gastonia is like the Joann Fabrics for men. That's what that is. You can go in there, and you know, this past week I was in there looking for some different items, and I started noticing these men are wearing baseball-type caps. It says Iraqi War Veteran. Don't be afraid to walk right up to them, shake their hand, thank them for their service, and start a conversation with them. Find out where they live. Oh, I live here. Have in your mind places that, you know, they live in Belmont. I don't know that they're probably going to be driving to Shelby in order to go to church. Do you know other churches in the Belmont area that you can recommend to them? Do you have the phone numbers for, you know, and start making those connections? Because, like I said, remember, they're going to be jumpy, easily startled. They're going to make coping mechanisms, to use common vernacular, in order to overcome the problem. They're going to build that exterior facade. They're going to be gruff. That's a good way to dodge the bullets of people coming to get me. Somebody walks up, how are you? Good.